book of Proverbs. If you'll open your Bibles there. Tonight I want us to think about what Proverbs has to say about our words and our communication to each other. I think we've been able to see so far in our study of Proverbs that it's really a commentary on human nature. There's so much that's embedded in Proverbs that really just reflects who we are as people. Right or wrong, it's just, you know, we people are people, and from various personalities, spectrums of backgrounds, people at the core of our being, we have pretty much the same characteristics. And I think that's especially true in the topic we're going to be talking about tonight, in our words. Proverbs has a lot to say about the way we speak to each other and our words. And it shows how people are naturally and instinctively going to react to what we say. Proverbs many times encourages us to be thoughtful of how our words affect and impact people. When you say something, you can provoke someone to feel built up and encouraged, healed. You can crush them, you can anger them, you can comfort them, you can annoy them, and you can betray them. And all of those emotions are found in the book of Proverbs, by the way. People are affected by what we say. We can't control how people react to what we say, mind you. We can't control what people think about it or take what we say, but we can control what we say. And that's what the book of Proverbs is encouraging us tonight, is to be conscious and be mindful of what we say and how we might impact others. Proverbs talks about the power of our words. I want to begin with a couple of passages. First of all, in chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That gives you a lot of power, doesn't it? The fact that your words can strike down or they can raise up. I think the fact that our words are so powerful is a reflection of the fact that we are created in God's image. Remember that God's words are powerful because they created the word. Of the world, and they spoke the word. But our words are not divine, obviously. They don't have the power to create and destroy like God, but our words still have power. And I think that's a fact of we are created in God's image, and our words, our communication, our thoughts impact people. And so we have to understand that what we say and how we say it has enormous influence. I want to use Proverbs chapter 12 as kind of our verse 18 as our kind of a theme verse for us tonight. This verse also conveys the power of our words. It says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Our words can do one of two things. They can hurt and they can heal. Notice the first part of that verse. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. I mean, that's pretty bold language there to describe our words. It's like being pierced through with a knife when you use your words in a harsh, unkind way. It's like being, you know, pierced with a spear. Our words can penetrate. They can lacerate. They can cut. They can wound. They can bruise. They can damage in extraordinarily painful ways. And we need to be mindful of that. We might not intend to be cruel. We might not intend to be cutting to someone. But this can happen even just through carelessness, through clumsiness. And Proverbs reminds us and exhorts us to be mindful of the fact that we can do this just without even intending. So let's be mindful of the power of our words to hurt, but let's also be mindful of the power of our words to heal. The second part of that verse, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The difference between words that hurt and words that heal is the person that speaks it and the way they speak it, whether the person is a wise person or a fool. The tongue of the wise brings healing, immense power to mend, to comfort, to relieve others. So Proverbs encourages us to be mindful that our emotions, our attitudes, our beliefs, and our self-esteem are all affected by what people say. Proverbs is all about consequences, isn't it? We've noticed a lot of consequences up to this point in our study about, you know, the way we choose to use our time, the way we choose to use our money, wisdom and foolishness, just in general. And words are no exception to that. Our words are going to have consequences, good or bad, for ourselves, but also other people. You know, it's very foolish to think that I can just say whatever I want to say and it not really affect anyone. It might sound, if you say it like, well, no one really is going to be affected by what I say. It might sound humble, like you don't view yourself as that important of a person that you're going to affect anyone. But truth of the matter is, whether you're important or not, people are affected by what you say. People are touched in good ways or harmed in bad ways. It's also very foolish, on the flip side, to think, you know, the old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. That's the way kind of kids make themselves feel better whenever they're on the playground being hurt by kids' words. We know that deep down we're affected, we're hurt by what people say about us. And so it's very foolish to think on that side of things that our words don't, or the other words, other people's words don't affect us. So the point here is that because our words have so much power, we do not have room. We cannot afford to be careless or accidental with the things that we say. Colossians chapter 4 has more to say about our words. So what we say is not just an encouragement from Proverbs to be mindful of, but it's a fundamental truth of the gospel. Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." The language of universality here, or it covers every situation, every person. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace, and so you know how to respond to each person. We always need to be careful with what we say. We must be intentional with what we say. Whether we intend to or not, our words are going to be affecting other people. So the basic point of my lesson tonight is this, that our words and the way we speak them have the power to both hurt or to heal. But Proverbs equips us with the wisdom we need to avoid hurting others with our words and start healing others. So let's look at what the book of Proverbs says about, first of all, ways that we might hurt people. And we're just going to go through a list of passages that talk about ways that we can use our speech in unwise ways. We're going to look at five things that might hurt and then five things that will heal. The first of these ways that will hurt is lying. If you look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, Proverbs 15, 4 says, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit." I believe the NIV says, instead of "but perversion in it," says "but deception" or "deceit in it crushes the spirit." Most of the passages I picked out tonight have to do with how our words affect others. There's a lot of in Proverbs about how our words will come back to affect us, either good or bad. But most of the passages I want to share with you, I want you to notice the common theme of how our words are going to impact others. It says, when you deceive someone, you crush their spirit. You hurt them. Aside from the fact that God hates a lying tongue, when you deceive someone, you do irreparable damage to your relationships. It destroys trust, which is a key component to our relationships. Every relationship is built in some way upon trust, whether it's a local congregation relationship, whether it's a boss-employee relationship, whether it's a husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, it's all built upon trust. And when you deceive someone, you're showing them, you can't trust what I say. So when you lie to someone, you are going to do a lot of damage. A lot of people lie, though, in order to prevent someone's feelings from getting hurt. But you know what hurts more? Whenever you do not tell them the truth. The truth is a lot better to speak, even if it's hurtful, than to deceive. Let me give you an illustration. There was once a father who was teaching his son who had a problem with lying. He was trying to teach him out of that. And so he told him to go out into the garage and get a 2x4 and drive 10 nails side by side into that 2x4. And every time he told a lie, he had to fix that lie. He had to confess it, you know, make it right. And then whenever he made it right, he could take out one of those nails. Well, it came to be that he got all of those nails out. And so he brought the board to his dad and said, "Look, Dad, I'm doing so well, aren't I?" And his dad said, "The nails aren't there, but the holes are." When you deceive someone, you still are going to damage that relationship, even when you make it right. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5, tells us that flattery can hurt someone. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 5 says, "A man who flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his steps." We don't often think about flattery as hurting someone, but this passage tells us that when you flatter someone, you're actually putting an obstacle before them. You're putting a net before them to catch them in their feet. Flattery, by the way, is just this giving praise or insincere compliments that's just over the top. Usually, it's given for the purpose of ingratiating yourself to the other person. You want someone to like you, maybe you want a favor from them, and so you flatter them. You speak well of them in a kind of an over-the-top way. But flattery is not serving the other person well. It's serving yourself. When you flatter someone, you're trying to get something out of them, aren't you? It's called kind of brown nosing is a common phrase for that. And when you flatter someone, you are inflating their pride, their ego, and that's setting them up for failure. We talked last time about what Proverbs has to say about pride, and we have to be very cautious of pride. A lot of times we might want to say something that is encouraging. We might want to say something that will build someone up. And so we end up flattering because we don't really know what exactly to say. But there's a big difference between building someone up with truth versus just inflating someone like a balloon. The difference is what you're using. Are you using the truth or are you using insincere praise? If you can't think of something nice to say to someone, don't say something nice to them. If there's nothing nice to be said at the moment, don't think of something or don't make up something nice to say. Don't be insincere. Don't use excess. And so don't use flattery as a misguided effort to encourage. It's better to say nothing at all, lest you spread a net for his or her steps. Proverbs also has some strong words to say about gossip. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 8. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." This is one of those passages that I think speaks more of how our words affect us. There's a lot of in Proverbs about how gossip affects others. It brings people down. It defames them. It hurts them. But this focuses on the one who is gossiping or the one who is listening to the gossip. It's like when you eat something, it goes down into you and becomes a part of who you are. You digest it. Same with gossip. When you hear gossip, chances are your view of the person that is being gossiped about or the organization or the group that's being gossiped about, your view is going to be affected by that, whether you realize it or not. It becomes a part of our unconscious perception of that person. Let's say I've got a neighbor named Bob. Now, you've never met Bob before, but suppose I tell you some of the things that Bob does, all right? Bob doesn't keep a job very long. And Bob has had 5 kids by 3 different women. And he's divorced, has been divorced a couple of times, and he's now living with his girlfriend. Now, what does that say to you about Bob? What kind of perception do you have about Bob? What if you were to come over to my house the next week after I told you about Bob, and you just happen to see Bob in his front yard cutting his grass? Immediately, what are you thinking about Bob? You know nothing else about Bob except from what I've told you. You have never met him, but you already have a perception about who he is. Now, the things that I may have said about Bob, maybe exactly the truth. Maybe he doesn't keep a job very long. Maybe he is a very immoral individual. But what's the purpose of me sharing that information with you? What I have done to you is I have brought your view of him down, and I've done a lot of damage to him and to you without him even knowing that. So my gossip has slandered him, and I have brought him low in your eyes even before you have a chance to meet him yourself. So we've got to be very careful of gossip. We can do a lot of damage to our relationships through spreading bad things about each other, or things that aren't true, spreading rumors that maybe we suppose are true. We also have to be careful of anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A harsh word stirs up anger. We all can testify to that truth, that when someone speaks in an angry way to you, your initial reaction, just naturally, is to respond and retaliate, right? You want to be angry back. You want to yell back, or you want to retaliate. You want to shout, snap, or otherwise escalate the situation. But when we do that, it's like holding a match to a pile of dead leaves. You're going to end up with a blaze that you can't control. So our words have to be brought in and reined in so that we don't create that kind of scenario. You see, our words, we're responsible for them. If we create anger in someone else because of what we have said angrily and without any self-control, then we're the ones responsible. Sure, they might be responsible as well for reacting, but we're the ones that are responsible for putting that stumbling block before them and asking for trouble. And one other thing we've got to be careful of using our words is quarreling. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10, it says, "Drive out the scoffer and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease." It takes a quarrelsome person to create a quarrel. Arguments, quarrels, they feed off of each other, like anger. Anger breeds anger. Arguments breed arguments. I know of one particular situation where a congregation was, there was beginning to be some strife and some words that were said and unrest within the congregation. And pretty clearly, it was traced back to one individual and that individual's family. And eventually, that person and his family left, and, well, everything went back to peaceful. It kind of shows the influence that one person can have on a congregation or upon a family or a group of people. One person that's contentious can create a lot of problems. Don't be that person. We all need to be cautious of our words, that they are not hurting, but rather that they're actually doing good. Proverbs tells us that it's not good enough just to be careful that we are not lying or flattering or gossiping or angrily speaking to each other or quarreling. It's not enough that we're not hurting each other. But Proverbs tells us that we need to be using our words to do positive good, to heal one another. So let me show you five ways that we can heal with our words in Proverbs. One of the big things that we need in our language is knowledge. Proverbs 15, verses 2 and 7 says, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Verse 7, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not so." This is the big difference between the foolish person and the wise person, is that they have knowledge. Remember, the theme verse of Proverbs is chapter 1, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Knowledge is what makes us a wise person. But this isn't the, you know, kind of know-it-all, college professor kind of knowledge. This is a knowledge which is accepting the truths of God's word and applying them to the basics of our lives and building our lives based upon what God says. That is what knowledge really is. It's the humble application of truth. We have to fill our language with that kind of knowledge. Knowledge that's influenced by God's word. Especially I think about us parents. Proverbs is kind of written like a teaching of a father and mother to their son. And so thinking about how we do this with our children, we need to be giving our children knowledge. More than just, you know, basic knowledge. We need to be instructing them in the words of the Lord. Our words have a huge impact on our children. And yes, we need to chasten them. Yes, we need to discipline them. But we also need to be positively instructing them in the ways of the Lord. If we're not doing that as well as correcting and rebuking, then we're only doing half of our job. So think about this as parents. We need to use our tongues to give them knowledge in order that they can have the wisdom that they need to live life in a godly and fearing way. We need to use honesty. Honesty is something that is fundamental. We talked about lying, and of course, this is the opposite of that. Chapter 24, verse 26 simply says, "He kisses the lips who gives a right answer." I believe the NIV says something like that an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Now, a couple things to understand here. The kiss on the lips is not talking about a romantic kiss, but rather it's talking about a friendship kiss. Remember back in ancient Near East times, that's the way people would greet one another, is through kissing. And when you would kiss someone on the lips, that was kind of a deeper, more intimate friendship between someone. And what the New American Standard says, it's he kisses the lips who gives a right answer. Right here means straightforward. It means honest. Honesty is so crucial for our relationships. We don't just give the yes man answer, but we give an honest answer. And that's what builds a genuine, true friendship, is built upon honesty and truthfulness. Now, sometimes truthfulness is hard, isn't it? When we have to say something that maybe we don't want to say, or maybe that it might be hurtful to their feelings. But again, remember that there's a lot more important than that person's feelings and our comfort level. Two things are more important than our feelings, both directions. The truth is obviously more important. And number two, their well-being and our well-being. We need to be speaking the truth to one another. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that. Laying aside falsehood and speak truth to one another, because we are members of each other. We belong to one another. So speak the truth to one another. Timeliness is also incredibly important. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 says, "A man has joy in an apt or timely answer, and how delightful is a timely word." Timeliness in our words, a timely encouragement, a timely rebuke, a timely word of affirmation. It's a joy to us when it comes at the right time. I mean, you know what I'm talking about when I say that when someone encourages you at just the right time, they may not know how much they've impacted you, but when it comes at the right time, just at the perfect moment, it makes a big impact on you. That's a beautiful thing. And so the need of the moment is the way Ephesians describes it. The need of the moment needs to dictate how we say things and what we say something. Chapter 27, verse 14, there's a little bit of humor in this statement if you think about it. It says, "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it will be reckoned a curse to him." I don't know how many of you are not morning people, but there's some truth in that, isn't there? When you know someone blesses you, "Good morning," loudly in the morning, you know, 5:30, there's not a lot of, that's not very timely, is it? And so Proverbs encourages us to be mindful of that. But there's also a you know, behind the humor there, there's a lot of truth in what it's saying here. This is saying, the implication is that the how and the when and the why we say is important, isn't it? Communication experts tell us that the vast majority of communication is nonverbal. Only a small percentage of our communication is really about the actual words that we say. Between 60 to 90% of the rest of communication is our body language, the tone of voice that we use, the undercurrent of the message that we're communicating. So we talk about our words. Let's not just limit it to the very words that we're choosing, but the time of our words and the way that we are speaking those words. Timeliness is so important in our speech. So is restraint. Proverbs 18, verse 13 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and shame to him." You ever been in that situation before where you said something before you had all the facts? That you made a judgment, or you cast a stone, if you will, before you knew the facts. It's much better to withhold judgment before you know the facts, so you don't shame yourself and so that you don't hurt other people. We do a lot of harm when we do that. When we make judgments before knowing the situation, it's very ungracious, really. We wouldn't want other people to treat us that way. We need to treat other people the way we want to be treated. Chapter 10, verse 19 has encouragement in this vein of restraint. Chapter 10, verse 19, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Restraint is so important. The more you speak, the more you're going to get yourself into trouble. That's just the way it is. The more you say, the more opportunity there is to say something you shouldn't say. And I think this is so incredibly important, especially in our day of digital media and social media. How easy is it to say things that we should not say on Facebook or on Twitter or other places that we wouldn't say in person because we're kind of shielded, you know, it's impersonal. But what we say there reflects on us and it impacts other people. Many times, we do this all the time. We see one news story, maybe that's shared on Facebook or maybe even just watching the news. We see one story and we think that we've got sufficient information to make an objective judgment. But chances are we've only heard one side of the story. We've only heard one perspective. And so we need to be cautious of making judgments before we know the facts. You know, it's a matter of pride when it comes down to it. We think today that we have to have an opinion about everything, that we have to have a strong judgment about everything that happens in our world today. The fact of the matter is, we can't really have an objective opinion on every news story. We just can't, because we don't have all the facts. So we've got to be cautious of what we say, because if we speak out of turn before knowing the facts, then we end up polarizing people. We end up conveying a partisan mentality. We convey a very foolish mentality, if you will. And we really contribute to the already growing strife in our world. This world has enough strife in it, doesn't it? And so we've got to be restraint. We've got to use restraint with our words. And then finally, Proverbs encourages us to be patient with our words. Proverbs 15, verse 1, we've read this earlier, to focus on how harsh words stir up anger, but look at the first part. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Wrath is powerful, but you know what's more powerful is a gentle answer, a timely answer, a patient answer. Patience and self-control have an immense amount of power to diffuse an already volatile situation. Chapter 25, verse 15 puts it this way. It says, "By forbearance a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone." Now think about that, that a soft word breaks a bone. Your harsh words can certainly break a bone, but your soft words can too. Think about that. Think about how powerful a soft, gentle word is when it's given in patience. It's powerful. It's immense. We think about power being expressed in volume and with, you know, with influence, but power is not really conveyed by that. What expresses power is self-control. That's really what this passage is telling us, that using self-control is so powerful in turning away wrath and persuading people. So Proverbs tells us, be careful to not hurt people, but instead heal people with your words. People are hurting in this world. You and I hurt sometimes. And so we need to speak those words that heal people. And I'm going to conclude tonight with two more passages that Proverbs tells us, shares with us, to show us how we develop the ability to use wise words. How do we go about doing wise words? It's very tough if you think about it. I mean, think about James chapter 3 when it talks about the power of the tongue. What James says, if you restrain your tongue, if you've got your tongue, your speech under control, you've got your whole body under control. The point is that your tongue is so difficult to control. It's like a fire, and it's like a horse that has a bridle, but you can't really train. It's like a ship that without a rudder. It's so hard to control. How do we train our speech so we always use our speech with grace and season it with salt? Two things that Proverbs tells us. Wise words come after careful thought. Wise words come only after careful thought. Chapter 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. In other words, when you're in a situation and you've got a decision about what you've got to say, how you're going to say it, or when you've got to say it, or why you've got to say it, it's best to take a step back and to really study the situation and think about what would be the wisest thing to do here. Maybe the wisest thing would be to say nothing at all. Or maybe the wisest thing here would be to turn away their wrath using your gentle words. Or maybe the wisest thing to do here would be to offer simply a word of affirmation. Think about not only the words that you're saying, but how, when, and why you're saying it. Think about this. What if you were the other person? How would you want them to approach you? And how would that change your approach if you were the one on the receiving end? Proverbs tells us that to be a wise person, using wise words, you're going to have to use some careful thought and ponder it in your heart. But ultimately, the secret to using wise words is developing a wise heart. Proverbs tells us that wise words come from a wise heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Sounds a lot like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, that envies and evil speech and malice and lust and deceit, all of those things come from within our hearts. Whatever is in your heart, ultimately it's going to come out somehow. So the key is to make your heart right. Go back to chapter 15, verse 28, really quickly. Several passages in Proverbs do this where they line up the heart and the mouth, or the heart and the lips, in kind of parallel format. This is one of those verses that do that. Chapter 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. You see the connection there between the heart and the mouth? There's other proverbs that do that. But the point is that what you think in your heart is ultimately what you're going to say. It shows this connection between who we are and the things that we say. If you want to use wise words, then you need to develop a wise heart. If you want to use compassionate words, then you have to develop a compassionate heart. If you want to use gentle and patient words, then you're going to have to develop a patient heart. On the flip side, we cannot use harsh, dishonest, or foolish words and then say, oh, that was just, I'm a patient person, I'm a wise person. No, those words come from somewhere, don't they? They come from your heart. So if we're going to be speaking wise words and using our words not to hurt but to heal, we're going to have to be the people that Jesus wants us to be. Jesus was the kind of person that healed, not hurt people. We need to be that same kind of person. heal with our words. That's what Proverbs encourages us to do. Would you pray with me, please? Our Lord God, we thank you for the gift of speech and the ability to communicate with others. But we know, Lord, that we can do so much damage through our words if we misuse them, if we say hurtful things. God, we pray that you will forgive us for the times that we have done that, and that you'll turn us away from those things, help us to repent and to use wisdom in the future. Instead, Lord, help us to rise to this occasion, rise to the challenge of using our words to heal, to mend, to comfort, to encourage, to spread knowledge, to be patient, to teach. Father, please help us, especially in our speech, to be wise towards those that are outsiders, so that they will see the glory and the wisdom of the gospel, and that they will not be turned away because of what we say. Lord, please help us to apply the wisdom of Proverbs, not only this topic, but other topics that we talk about. Lord, give us wisdom every day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, if there's some way we can help you tonight spiritually, if there is a need that you have, we're here as a family to help you, to encourage you. Many times these invitations turn into an invitation for someone that's not a Christian, and certainly it is an occasion for that. If you're not a Christian, this is the best time that you have, the only time that you're guaranteed to respond to the gospel and be baptized, immersed in Christ. But this is also an opportunity that if you're struggling in some way, we're here to help you. We're here to pray with you and encourage you, not look down on you, not shame you, but use our words and use our love for you to build you up and help you in some way. If you need to come forward and let that be known, please do that right now as we stand and sing for your encouragement.